This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Friday. Aspen's 30 parks will get less water this summer under the city's Stage 3 water restrictions. Aspen Daily News reporter Lucy Peterson reports.
Aspen's Parks and Open Space Department is watering the parks around town significantly less than normal. They're watering a majority of the parks only twice a week to comply with the city's water restrictions. It's causing some parks like Galena Plaza outside of City Hall to brown under the dry conditions. But there are some exceptions. The city is watering its athletic fields slightly more in order to keep them safe for users. Those parks need water 3 days a week to keep the soil soft. The Aspen Golf Club is also using less water under the city's restrictions. The grass on the greens and tee boxes will be grown out longer than usual so that the golf club doesn't have to water them as much. But some areas around the course are also starting to show brown spots. The city enacted its most strict water restrictions in history last month after a historically warm winter with record-breaking low snowpack. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Lucy Peterson.
A coalition of Colorado communities is preparing to advocate for climate-minded data center regulations. Colorado Communities for Climate Action is meeting for its annual board meeting this week. It's made up of 49 local governments, including Pickens and Eagle counties, Aspen, Snowmass, Basalt, Carbondale, and Glenwood Springs. Executive Director Jacob Smith says the group was heavily involved in discussions on data center legislation this year. Neither of the two competing bills passed during this legislative session, but Smith expects the topic to come up again next year.
We want to make sure that they are managed well and that if they're getting incentives from the state, that the incentives make sense, making sure that the impacts to water and air pollution and noise and quality of life in local communities, that all of those things are appropriately protected.
Smith says the state has a lot of good climate policies, but there are other areas like reducing solid waste where it's fallen short. The Climate Coalition also is involved with federal policy. It recently worked with the Attorney General to challenge the Trump administration's order requiring coal plants to stay open after their planned closure dates. Firefighters kept the Spring Creek fire near Thomasville from growing yesterday, and the fire is now 20% contained. Evacuations remain in place for the Eagle County section of Eagle-Thomasville Road north of Thomasville. The U.S. Forest Service reports that crews have worked around the entire perimeter of the fire, building handling and establishing hose lays. The fire has a roughly 21-acre footprint. Evacuations have been lifted for the Willow Fire that broke out in North Rifle Wednesday. According to Colorado River Fire Rescue, the 10-acre fire has been contained, and crews are working to ensure that it's completely extinguished. The fire damaged an 8-unit building at the Rifle Creek Apartments, which is believed to be a total loss. The fire started in a backyard and quickly spread to wildland areas and structures. The cause of the fire is under investigation. In statewide news, GEO Group, the corporation that operates immigrant detention facilities nationwide and in Colorado, has sued the state over a new law requiring health and safety inspections. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Benta Berkland has more.
GEO Group says Colorado's law is unconstitutional because it infringes on federal immigration authority and violates the Supremacy Clause, that the activities of the federal government are free from regulation by any state. GEO is asking the court to block the law's implementation. Governor Jared Polis recently signed it into law. Backers of the law say they've heard disturbing reports of unsafe and unhealthy living conditions for immigrants in detention, and say GEO should be able to prove they meet the basic levels of care.
That was Benta Berkland for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. A federal judge's decision could ease pressure on Colorado schools, hospitals, and universities that rely on highly skilled workers from abroad. CPR education reporter Jenny Brendine has more.
A federal judge has struck down a $100,000 fee on new H-1B visas, a Trump administration policy meant to limit foreign workers. The judge ruled the administration went too far. It called the fee an unauthorized tax. The University of Colorado system employs hundreds of H-1B visa holders in research and clinical roles. School districts across the state also depend on the visas to hire teachers in hard-to-fill jobs like math, science, and special education. The administration says it will appeal. Colorado was part of the lawsuit. Jenny Brendine, CPR News.
The ongoing drought in the region has left many rivers and streams running low. Lower water levels lead to warmer temperatures and reduced oxygen in the water, conditions that can threaten fish survival. That puts stress on recreational fishing, which generates millions of dollars annually for Colorado's economy. State wildlife managers have already implemented fishing closures in some areas to protect vulnerable fish populations. Kara Van Hoos, with Colorado Parks and Wildlife, says any future restrictions will be based on conditions in individual waterways.
We're going to take fishing closures and any sort of restrictions there kind of on a week-by-week or month-by-month basis. And it's going to be something that's going to be specific to each water body. So it's not as if we're saying, okay, everything in this county or this watershed is closed. I think we're going to be kind of narrowing down to what it's doing at the local level.
CBW has joined Colorado's Drought Task Force to better understand the local and regional impacts of worsening drought conditions. And in regional news, Colorado River experts were in Washington, D.C. Wednesday to speak with senators about the state of the region's water crisis. As Alex Hager for the Mountain West News Bureau reports, the water supply is shrinking, and state officials are running out of time to issue a new plan for the river.
The Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee heard from federal water managers. Andrea Travnik with the Bureau of Reclamation says she'd prefer that state leaders agree on a plan for sharing the Colorado River, but
if they can't move their stakes to get closer, we are going to have to make the decision, and the federal government is prepared to do that.
The feds are likely to get sued by the states if they move forward with their own rules. The deadline for a new plan is about a couple months away, and states are letting that messy court battle get closer to reality. Alex Hager, Phoenix.
Many wind energy projects could soon lose federal tax credits. The Mountain West News Bureau's Hannah Mertzbach reports pressure to defund wind projects is coming from the Trump administration and the grassroots level.
About 150 Wyomingites recently took to the state capitol to fight wind projects in the state. They worry about wind turbines taking out golden eagles and obscuring open vistas on public and private land. But rally organizer Craig Rucker says he has hope. He's the leader of CFACT, a D.C.-based public policy group.
I think you'll see a lot of these projects belly up, because unless they can live off government subsidies and tax credits and handouts, they can't compete.
With federal tax credits ending, wind and solar developers are racing to break ground on projects before July 4th. This comes after, in May, solar provided more of the country's energy than coal for the first time ever. Wind has done the same during windy spring months. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Hannah Mersbach.
A powerful Senate Republican announced an effort that could rescind the roadless area conservation rule on Wednesday. The Mountain West News Bureau's Yvette Fernandez reports.
Utah Republican Mike Lee, who chairs the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources, referenced the Wildfire Prevention Act of 2025 and says the roadless rule impedes progress on mitigation efforts.
The rule restricts access for multiple use in ways that in different respects have a tendency to increase wildfire risk, endanger communities, and limit economic activity.
Democrats like Senator Martin Heinrich of New Mexico voiced support for the bipartisan Fix Our Forest Act, which has stalled in the Senate.
We do treatments, hazardous fuel treatments, in roadless areas, and we should.
President Clinton established the roadless rule in 2001. Environmental groups have submitted hundreds of thousands of signatures to federal officials supporting the rule. Yvette Fernandez, the Mountain West News Bureau.
Older adults are increasingly turning to cannabis to self-medicate. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports, researchers in our region are trying to understand this cohort's motivations to help them navigate complex medical decisions.
Researchers surveyed about 170 people 60 or older about why they wanted to purchase edible cannabis products. These adults were in Colorado, where recreational marijuana is legal, and they weren't trying to get high, but to manage pain, sleep, or mental health concerns.
They essentially started to run out of options and wanted to turn to something new.
That's Rebecca Delaney, a population health scientist at the University of Utah and an author on a new study analyzing the survey results. She says many respondents were choosing cannabis to avoid pharmaceuticals, but many had concerns about side effects. Delaney says the research could help physicians better meet the needs of their patients.
They want to help, but they also need more information and training.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, Associate Editor Sage Smiley, reporters Reagan Mertz, Michael Finelli, Hannah Weaver, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Sarah Torrey, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.